B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mash.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, hi there, everybody. Welcome into the program. It's Felger and Maserati on a Friday, a pretty big Friday. It's Friday, February 5th, Super Bowl Friday, and we come to you from our usual locations. I'm in the remote A-hole chair location. Maz and Murray back in our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Agenda-free Fridays are driven by your phone calls. So your wonderful phone calls dictate what we talk about. Okay, so we give you some opening thoughts while you populate the phone banks, and then we go right to you, and that's pretty much it for the rest of the day. Your phone number is 617-779-0985. And agenda-free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free. Choose some new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. I talked about opening thoughts. Who wants to go first?
Murray, you want to go?
Yeah, sure. Look, I'll obviously be extremely disappointed if Tom Brady and our Bucks lose on Sunday in the Super Bowl. And with that would come a lot of blowing on Monday. And that blowing would be moot and pointless because Brady already won. But I would get it. It'd be deserved. It would be stupid poetic justice for all the blowing that I've done here for the last 4 or 5 weeks. All of that said, though, if the Kansas City Chiefs do win, there is actually someone I would be happy for, and that's Andy Reid. I like Andy Reid. I like his whole half-man, half-walrus look, and his big fat party guy who loves to pound food ethos. I like Andy Reid. And I also think in the annals of NFL history, he's taken kind of an undeserved beating. Has he been terrible with the clock at times and in big games? Yep, laughably so. But I think he's a good coach, and the guy's gotten the best out of middling bum quarterbacks like Donovan McNabb and Alex Smith. He made a Super Bowl in 3 straight NFC Championship games with McNabb, and now 3 straight, and he's won a Super Bowl with the Kansas City Chiefs. And obviously a lot of that has to do with the fact that he has Patrick Mahomes, who might be, you know, the best player in the league and is definitely the face of the league. But if the Chiefs win it again this year, first back-to-back since the Patriots 03-04, Andy Reid, I think, will rightfully be looked at as one of the great coaches in NFL history, not just like the last couple of decades, ever. And I think that will be deserved praise for Andy Reid. And that might also be further reason for why you middling diaper babies need to root for Tom Brady, our quarterback, this Sunday, because you're going to get national talking heads starting to say, maybe Andy Reid might have been a better coach than Belichick over these last few decades. Turns out Belichick needed Brady. Reid, you know, he did this before with McNabb. And maybe Reid is the better coach. So there you go. I'd be happy for Reid, and it's further reason why you, the middling diaper babies, need to root for our quarterback and our Bucks on Sunday.
Anthony?
Okay, so I love matchups in every game. I mean, you know, in the big ones especially. And to me, the matchups in this game are fabulous, and there is no matchup that interests me more than Tom Brady versus Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator of the Chiefs. So this goes all the way back to Super Bowl 36, I think it was, right? Is that the number, Mike? I never remember the Super Bowl numbers.
Me neither. I don't.
And it's the Patriots-Giants in 2007 when the Patriots were undefeated. But remember,
42, I think.
Oh, 42. Yeah. Okay, so 36 was the Rams, I guess. Yeah. Ah, whatever, it doesn't matter. So right. 2007, week 17, was the first time these guys met. The Patriots completed the 16-0 season, if you remember. And Brady had a good game against Spagnuolo and the Giants that week. Game is 76% complete, 356 yards, 2 touchdowns. The rating was 117. In the 4 games since, Spagnuolo's beaten him 3 times. And he beat him this year as a member of the Chiefs. He beat him last year in Foxborough as a member of the Chiefs. Brady's only win during that span was in 2015, week 10, against the Giants in New York. Brady had 2 touchdowns and a pick in that game, but he needed a field goal from Steven Gostkowski from 54 yards with 1 second left to beat the Giants 27-26. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Spagnuolo has Brady's number. But in the last 4 games, Brady's rating against Spagnuolo is 83.7. He's been sacked 12 times. His completion percentage is just a little over 60%. He has 7 touchdowns and 4 picks, and he's fumbled twice. So Spagnuolo knows how to get to this guy. In the first game this year, the Chiefs blitzed the crap out of Brady early on. Tampa Bay couldn't handle it. If I were Kansas City, I would blitz Brady again. I think this is where the weakness is in the Tampa Bay offense. But that matchup, to me, is the most fascinating and interesting matchup of the Super Bowl on Sunday.
Okay, mine is simply, basically, I've gotten what I wanted out of this week. And I tried to start the drumbeat when the playoffs started, when Tom Brady was in and you weren't. I felt that, you know, every day that Brady stayed alive became a referendum on you. And Brady making the Super Bowl, you know, really just brought that to the front of the stage. Or that's what I wanted anyway. You know, I mean, that was my wish, that Tom Brady winning in the postseason really put the spotlight on you and really became a story about you. And that's what I wanted to have happened. And boy, was I rewarded on that. Because I think, Maz, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I think nationally, not even here in Boston, which is obvious, self-evident, but I feel like nationally, the Patriots might have been the second biggest storyline this entire week. I mean, I really feel like Brady Belichick, Brady Patriots, is 1-1A. And I know folks in Kansas City would disagree, but that would might be the only place. I mean, I don't know. What was the biggest quote of the whole week nationally?
The biggest quote?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, probably Danny Amendola.
Danny Amendola's
quote. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Danny Amendola.
I think Danny Amendola's quote was the biggest. It got the most play of any quote this entire week from anyone. From anyone on anything. I don't know. Name another quote.
No, totally. It was that, because that quote then spread like wildfire, and all of a sudden Amendola's doing, you know, this interview and that interview. He's all over the place. It was definitely that.
Yeah, so, I mean, I to me, what I wanted to have happened, happened. What I wanted to have happen, happened. And that is the Buccaneers, Tom Brady making the Super Bowl, became about you as much as it did about anything else. You know, I think Brady's the story of this week, but you're 1A. I almost think you're a bigger story than the Chiefs. I know certainly that's the way it is here, and I think you could make the argument that that's the way it was nationally as well. And that's exactly what I wanted to have happen. That they're really not related. Brady, what he's doing in Tampa, and your rebuild, they're separate. They really shouldn't be related, but they are. But they are related, and I think we see it. I think we see it, and that was a payoff. That was a payoff for us as a talk show, or just what I thought would happen there. And I'm glad it happened, because you deserve it. That was a massive whopper of a decision. You got it wrong, and now you deserve to be criticized for it, and you deserve to be scrutinized for it. Period, story over, and that's what happened. And Tom Brady going to the Super Bowl does all that. And it does it on a much bigger stage and with a much bigger microscope than you ever would have had just by him having a better regular season or winning a playoff game or two. This is the payoff. Okay, so that's my opening take, but we can talk about whatever you want. If you want to sprinkle in a Bruins or a Celtics thought, we had some chatter with that during the week. You can. It is agenda-free Friday. But it's mostly Patriots and mostly all these. Really, there was a lot to talk about this week as it relates to not just this game, but, I don't know, all the ancillary things around it. It started with that Stafford-Goff trade and Stafford coming out and saying he would be traded anywhere but not here. So he rejected a trade to the Patriots. I mean, not that ever came to that, but he would have rejected a trade to the Patriots, which I think is a big talking point. We have the way Brady handled himself all week, which was, the high road but fake. The high road but fake. The Amendola comments and the Patriot way and what constitutes the Patriot way. That was a big talking point this week. These guys think Belichick's coaching for his job this upcoming season. That's something to hit on. So there's a lot going on this week, and we'll just get to it with your phones unless either of you guys have a follow-up thought before I go to the people.
Negative.
Nope.
Let's do it then. Christian in Boston, lead us off. Go ahead, Christian. You're up first with Felger and Maz today.
Hey, guys. How are you? Listen, I got a Brady take for you. So, realistically, no one's bigger than the team here in New England. So, Brady goes down to Tampa bigger than the team, and now all of a sudden, we're going to forget about the other people who have bailed him out in other Super Bowls. What is he going to do this year if he doesn't have Vinatieri to bail him out? I'm so glad he made that interception against the Seahawks, right? Oh, wait. So, I mean, listen, when are we going to stop with this narrative that it's not a team sport? Tom's great and everything, but, I mean, Jim, I think you guys are kind of forgetting that.
Well, you know, Christian, when someone gets quote-unquote bailed out consistently over 20 years,
Don't you think that sort of transcends what you're talking about, which is like luck?
I mean, look, the bottom line is you keep coming back to the same number in this thing, okay? 10. He's been to 10 Super Bowls, for goodness sake. He's won 6 of them. And you can talk about all the luck you want and anything else. You don't get to 10 by accident.
And based on that argument, maybe I should be even more mad at Belichick because they had the lead in those two Giants Super Bowls, and then the defense blew it. Who's the architect of the defense? Oh, that's right, Belichick.
So, I mean, what's going to happen is, I mean, if it's to Brady's, you know, the way it's gone with him, he'll do something wrong on Sunday. He'll make a mistake or two, or he won't play well for a quarter or a half or something. But someone else somewhere on his team will make some plays. He'll get some luck, probably. And then when he needs to make the play, he'll make the play.
He'll rebound.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just...
A bad pick or two is a luck, given how he's performed in this game. But if they're down 7 or 10 in the fourth quarter, good luck, Kansas City.
But, I mean, I think good fortune is a part of his story. He's had a lot of it.
Yep.
And, well, that's just the way it goes. So is Jeff Bezos. You know, it's just... at the end of it, they've still done a ton of things right, and Brady still put himself in that position, but he's had some good fortune. But when you have consistent good fortune over 20 years, I think you've got to sort of point to, I don't know, something other than him just being lucky or his team bailing him out. Jordan in Florida, we also talked about this week about Brady's jersey sales setting NFL records and his popularity. Jordan in Florida wants to weigh in on that. Go ahead, Jordan. If you pop him up, I jammed up Jimmy on line 7. Hi, Jordan.
Yeah, I'm really surprised Brady's jersey sales are so high because I think he's the most polarizing athlete of all time. Like, no matter how many Super Bowls this guy wins, like, there are so many football fans that say, oh, he's lucky or it's all Belichick. Like, there's literally like a guy with a Twitter account. He spends his whole day like writing up stats to make discredit Brady, and he has like all like 700,000 followers. Like, dude, like, I can't Brady just like get the credit. I don't understand. Like why do people hate him so much?
Well, I mean, the winning is the number one thing, Jordan. Jimmy, you can drop him.
Yeah,
thank you. The winning's we get sick of people who win too much. We hate Mike Krzyzewski. We hate, you know, Notre Dame. We're used to hate the Yankees. Hate Jeter. Like, so he's in that. That's number one, obviously. But we talked about it this week. I think there's a little something that's unrelatable about him. He's just too perfect. And I think there's some pushback there. So I was surprised about the jersey sales, too. I'm surprised that he beats out guys like Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and like guys with more sizzle and, you know. But it is what it is. I think people gravitate towards greatness and winning. And that's Tom Brady.
And that's what this year was about. I mean, really, that's why I think you saw the spike is that people said, wow, I'm impressed. You know, in this case, he got rid of the coach, got rid of the team, moved to Florida, you know, sat in the sun and went to the Super Bowl again. Like, really, it's astonishing. It's no matter where you take the guy and put him, he ends up in the Super Bowl. That's what the driving storyline has been.
We are off and running on an agenda-free Friday. You are jammed. You got a lot of things to say, so we'll get right back to you after this.
Boston's home for sports. Filger and Mads, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
Mike, you there?
Yeah, good. Hold on, I have a landline. This is my landline, yep.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This thing right here is letting the diaper babies know what adults talk about. You know why Brady's not here anymore and why you have to root for him this week. Check it out. Bill treated Tom with animus. Some things he said were scandalous. Like, we know what his age and status is, and the offense looks the same no matter who it is. Treated him like an afterthought. You can't blame Tom for being distraught. So he bounced to Tampa Bay and joined the Bucks. And now Bill looks like a cola. Sign Cam Newton. Suck. You babies get blood. Hope the Chiefs get crushed. I think I'll sing it again. Sign Cam Newton. And he suck. You babies get blood. Bill was so damn wrong. That's why we cheer for Tom. You diaper babies. You gotta root for Tom. All he does is go to
Super Bowl. And that's why they call him the GOAT.
You Tiger babies. You gotta root for Tom, the Tom, Tom, Tom.
Okay. Certainly not the final track on Murray's Greatest Hits album. It might be, Murray. I don't know. If they lose, if the Bucks lose on Sunday, you got something on Monday, or are you going to go to the shell?
It depends on how it plays out. Yeah, I mean, I've been self-deprecating before with some of the productions, so we'll see. We'll have to see. But obviously there will be more, rightfully so, if our quarterback, Tom Brady, and our Bucks win on Sunday. But yeah, we'll see what I got up on my sleeve and how hungover I am on Monday.
All right, back to your phones as promised on Agenda Free Friday. Wes in the car. Hi, Wes.
Hey, before I give you my take, let's get a content replay at some point of that way too long Belichick song that Jim sang yesterday. Listen, as far as the coach, you want Belichick over the guy that's standing across the other sideline throwing it on third down on the 1 yard line in the Super Bowl. Now, what Brady did, especially with his second half, is unreal. It's just he was on the downward slide. He turned up the volume, and he proved everybody wrong. So with that being said, what the hell were the Patriots doing, letting them go?
Okay, there you go. I don't understand the first part about Belichick. I thought it was a Belichick call. But I don't know, Maz, you want to weigh in? What the hell were they doing letting them go?
Well, so look, again, to me, the sin isn't necessarily letting him go. That was going to happen sooner or later. So, in retrospect, should they have kept him? Of course. Yeah, that's an easy call now. That one, I mean, totally. So, but the bigger problem was not having a succession plan. That's what the bigger problem was. If they had a guy in place that they could have put some faith in and who could throw, let's start with that, who could throw a forward pass accurately. If they had a guy that could have done that and gone 10-6 or whatever, I don't think people would be nearly as worked up about it.
Absolutely.
But it is the fact that right now it seems kind of rudderless. Maybe not even kind of.
If the plan was Jared Stidham, Cam Newton, and no plan at quarterback the second offseason, and no clear path the second offseason, then yeah, you're keeping Tom Brady, you idiots. What are you doing? If you have a fallback, if you've got a real plan and something in place, then I'm okay with it. But sorry, I mean, that's the deal, that you had nothing. And so that's the second guess. And Brady being alive here, Brady being, you know, playing in this game this week, just drove it home like nothing else could. So I'm glad for that. Dave and Stoughton, go ahead, Dave.
Hey, what's up, guys? Just wondering if you guys think it would be a possibility of if Bill screws up this next draft, do you think that he could lose the GM spot and still keep the coaching spot?
No, I don't.
No, I think, look, I'm sorry, Mike, go ahead.
No, you are. We've talked about this 4 million times, Maz. Give him the story.
It's a package deal. You either take the whole bill or none of it. It's just, it all comes in one package. That's the deal. You take the whole thing or none of it. And so, and I don't put it squarely on the draft. I mean, I'm not all that optimistic about the draft coming up this year with regard to their performance. Based on what recent performance is, I hope he takes, for what him would be, safe picks, front seven on defense, closer to the ball, and you'll see what happens. To me, it's about the whole roster building. And then we'll see where we are in a year. Now, do I think they're going to fire him? I have a hard time believing it. But I think if they're in the same spot a year from now that they are right now, I think the Crafts will look at it, and I think it deserves to be looked at.
Oh, I mean, believe me. I mean, normally I would yell at you because it's just, I think it's the most asinine suggestion we get on a regular basis, that they would hire a GM on top of Bill and Bill would answer to someone else at this stage in his career, like have a boss between him and the owner, or have someone else pick players for his football team. Like, get your head out of your ass. He's not going to allow that. So but I'm not going to do that, because you know why? Because I think the Crafts and an owner probably might like it at some point where they look at Bill as a coach who's still really terrific, I think, and as a GM really spotty, and say, you know, we might all be better served if you just coach. So like an owner might want that. Bill just ain't going to go for it at this stage of his career. It's not going to happen. So the best you could possibly hope for, Maz, is if there's another bad draft this year, some sort of subtle changes internally where we're going to hire a guy. He's not the guy. He's still going to answer to you, Bill. But we're going to make sure that you listen to him. And we're going to give him some, you know, we're in the draft room and we know what he's reporting, and we're just, you know, start to listen to this guy. He has some good ideas. Yeah, you know, it's something like that, something subtle where they're going to make some internal changes That, I think, is the most you can hope for if there's another down year or another down draft for sure. Josh in Austin. Go ahead, Josh. What do you got?
We know Bill claims those two rings with the Giants when he was the defensive coordinator. In addition to the pay structure, do you think that might be another reason why he's reluctant to give his assistant coaches that title?
No. I mean, I don't think there's any risk of, I don't know, whatever, Charlie Weiss having a boat named the Three Rings. Like, I don't feel that he's not doing that to keep that from them. Like, I'm the only assistant that can name my boat, you know, give myself rings that I won as an assistant. I think it's all a pay thing. It's all about pay. They can't. It's my guess. You know, that and Bill's thing about we want you working up from the bottom up, and, you know, we're not about titles here. We're all just cogs. And, you know, for 20 years, I was a do boy. I was a slappy. And so you're going to be a slap. You know, it's like that sort of mindset, you know, if you know what I mean. Plus the fact he makes all the money and they probably can't pay him like a real coordinator, so I'm not going to give you the title. Like, that would be my guess. It's not about those guys being able to claim rings like he has. James in New Hampshire. Hi, James.
Yeah, I'm just talking about Brady versus Spagnuolo. Like, I'm just wondering, I think everyone knows about Brady on the second half of the game, but it matters how it starts. Do you think that Spagnuolo going to make any adjustments on the second half about Brady, or do you believe in Brady more to make adjustments on Spagnuolo's defense?
Okay, Maz, your thought on that?
Well, so look, I'm just telling you that I think Kansas City, if we're going coaching staff to coaching staff, Kansas City's got the edge in this game. I think their coaching staff's better than Tampa Bay's. And Spagnuolo's had success against Brady. Does that mean Brady's not going to make adjustments? He's going to lose? No, of course not. So again, they've met five times. Brady's 2-3. Brady beats everybody. He's 2-3 against this guy head-to-head. Now, again,
you think the key is Spagnuolo creating pressure without blitzing?
I think Spagnuolo's going to blitz. I do. I think he's going to. He blitzed in the first game. And so I'm not sure that Kansas City has quite the same pressure up the middle that Tampa Bay might have with its front four. I think they're going to have to scheme it. And so Spagnuolo's smart, though. He, you know, he's a good defensive coordinator. He's made a huge difference in that team. Think of it. They, you know, they were a team that couldn't stop the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. And then a year later, they changed defensive coordinators, and they've added personnel, too. I mean, don't get me wrong. Tyrann Mathieu in the secondary has been a huge add. But now they're a championship-caliber team, and their defense is much better. I think he's a big part of that. So, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, my guess, though, is they're going to try to bring blitz pressure. And we've talked about this with Tampa Bay, because I don't think Tampa Bay handles the blitz well. I'd do the opposite with these two quarterbacks now. I would, years ago with Brady, you blitzed him, it was suicide. That is now Mahomes. If you blitz Mahomes, you're going to get smoked.
See, and I think that they should keep blitzing, because that's what Tampa Bay has been doing defensively. That's what who's their defensive coordinator? Todd Bowles has been doing here these last couple of weeks, where in that last game that they played each other, their last loss, he let him pick him apart. It was more about zone. They get torched in that secondary. You know, Tyreek Hill ends up with like 250 yards. I think they're going to attack Mahomes, especially with that left tackle out.
See, I go back and look. I think they blitzed in that game, Murray. I know Baltimore blitzed him earlier in the year, and Baltimore got absolutely smoked by Mahomes. Brady's the opposite now. Brady, you got to blitz him. Because Tampa Bay's receivers, most of them don't have the capacity to adjust on the fly like Brady does, and their backs can't pick it up.
And a lot of times Tampa's answer to the blitz is thrown over the top. You know, you got one-on-one on the outside, so chuck it deep down the field. Where here, Brady would, underneath the Edelman or, you know, Gronkowski, or, you know, pick you apart a little more high percentage. In Tampa, it is really just, and you know, the Packers got him. Yeah, it didn't, you know, result in a win, but that's how they started to get to him a little bit in the second half in that game. So, Maz, I agree. I'd be more willing to blitz Brady now than I would in the past.
Oh, definitely. I mean, in the past, he'd carve you to pieces. Forget it. Now it's the way to beat them.
Okay, here's Murray's update. We're back with more calls on whatever you want here on Agenda Free Friday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
through the afternoon, one take at a time.
Oh, my gosh, it was unbelievable.
It's Felger and Mass.
So why don't you just do that? Just do that thing.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub, and now, the radio.com app.
That would be the worst decision he ever made, because now you're not being fair to your team.
Mm-hmm.
You're not being fair to your team. When I saw what I saw with Cam, every time I saw Cam play, pretty much, I was hurt. Because I was a guy that believed in Cam. And when you see him drop back and he continues to throw the ball into the ground, throw it 5 feet or 5 yards above somebody else, you're like, what are you doing, Cam? I would say this. You have to find a quarterback. And it would be a terrible mistake for Bill Belichick to bring Cam back, because Cam can't play football anymore. He just can't play quarterback in the National Football League.
Again, Agenda Free Friday, everything from the week. That was maybe my favorite quote from the week. Rodney Harrison with Tommy Curran on NBC Sports Boston. Cam can't play quarterback anymore. Whew, it was a good one. All right, back to your phones here again on everything. Manny in Dorchester, what are your thoughts on the game, Manny?
Yeah, I'm rooting for Brady, but I think it might get out of hand. And by if Tampa Bay makes any mistakes in the first quarter, it might be a blowout. What do you think?
So, I mean, I'd be surprised if it was a blowout on either side. I would be. I could see Kansas City getting hot in the second half and going on one of those runs, and now they win by a couple scores. Like, that's with the extent of it. I'd be surprised if either team gets blown out, Maz.
Yeah, I mean, I just – with Kansas City, you never know. They get rolling, and, like, all of a sudden there's a turnover, and now it's, you know, 24 to nothing. You know, it just – so I don't rule it out. I just think Brady's going to find a way to keep him in it. He's too smart. He's just not the kind of guy that's going to come, you know, as long as they don't do something on the defensive side of the ball that is suicidal. And right. The way to play Kansas, I'm talking like I'm some sort of defensive coordinator. You got to slow them down. You can't let them get big plays, which is why you can't blitz.
And this is why I think the chance they might be able to is because that defensive front, I think, has been the strength of this Bucs defense all season, but definitely during this postseason run. And they don't have their two tackles. Like, them not having their two tackles is potentially a big problem for them.
I agree, Murray. I think that's the key to the game is Tampa's defensive front four.
So, I mean, we just talk about it. Like, there's a – I mean, I don't think it's going to happen, but there's a shot Tampa gets blown out. I don't see there's any chance that KC gets blown out because, again, we've seen KC turn the ball over, sleepwalk through a quarter or a half, and even these big games. And then all of a sudden they – complete one ball, get one drive started, and all of a sudden you can't stop them. I mean, that the game last, the Super Bowl last year, they had it lost. And they had it, what was that 3rd-and-17 play, that big long out that they completed to Tyreek Hill? Remember that play? They were sunk. They were two scores down. They were 3rd-and-long, and like extra long, behind the stakes. And he completes this long, you know, out pattern to Tyreek Hill, and I don't think San Fran stopped him another play the entire game. It's like you get one play. Kansas City gets going on one play, and that's it. So I just don't – I can see Casey getting down big. I can't see them finishing down big.
Yeah, that was the play where he threw the ball deep, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he was under pressure and scrambled out of there and whipped it down the field. Yeah.
Ian in New Bedford, as a Celtics thought on Agenda Free Friday. Go ahead, Ian.
What's up, guys? Sorry to deter you from all the Brady talk, but I think Brad Stevens is actually lucky that Brady made it this far, because he should be getting way more flack for some of his coaching decisions recently. And I think particularly just the amount of people that are playing in his rotations is just – I don't understand how anybody can get any kind of continuity on that team when they don't know when the hell they're going to play. And he's just enabling some stupid plays like Tremont Waters just launching deep bombs and – Javonte Green just, you know, being Javonte Green. It's just, it's not a good look for them. And I think if they go 2-4 over the next six, it's time to call for his job.
Okay, no shot, Ian. No shot.
I don't want him fired, but I do appreciate that he's starting to feel some heat, because I think I said this yesterday, even though some of the most green of green teamers are still starting to look at Brad Stevens and some of his coaching decisions this year and like, what the hell are you doing? The San Antonio loss, he had a 12-man rotation in the first half.
I mean, the other night to me is a hard one to get on him for rotations because they were missing so many guys. I mean, you know, Kemba Walker didn't play, Smart didn't play, so Tremont Waters is going to play. You don't have a choice, for crying out loud. You know, Pritchard's out. Like, you're missing three point guards. So that one I sort of throw aside. My big issues with the rotations of the big guys. Robert Williams has got to play at the end of these games. We got to start finding out whether this guy can give him something at the end of games.
I mean, just so you know, this is a pointless conversation because he is a coach for life. I mean, I'm not joking. I mean, not only is he not on the hot seat or being scrutinized, they gave him an extension last year. I mean, the guy, is this his eighth year?
I think that's right. He's been here a while.
Or his ninth. Well, I don't know if people appreciate how long he's been here. 2013 was his first year, 13-14. So, 14, 15.
Eighth 15, year.
15, yeah. 15,
I mean, for Pete's sake, at some point, like, but he just gets, I think they love him. You know, the Celtics love Danny Ainge. They love Brad Stevens. They love that group. They love their front office. They love their power structure. I think they're both good. Like, I don't think they're fireable. But, boy, Ainge has been here going on 20 years. He's got one championship. Stevens have been here 8 years, never even made the finals. It's like, there's not many towns or many teams where you could be a GM and a coach with a track record like that and be as beloved and trusted as those guys are trusted. But, you know, there you go. There's the Celtics experience for you. Cam and Taunton, go ahead, Cam.
You know, and Felger, I don't want to send you into a rant here because I know how you feel about this guy. For Brett Favre to come out and say what he said about Deshaun Watson, like, you know, we're not in a position to voice our opinion. So it's like, so this guy who held the Packers and Jets hostage for so many years, am I going to retire? Am I not going to retire? Did the same thing to the Vikings. Now this guy is lecturing Deshaun Watson about showing some loyalty. So what, is Brad Marchand going to lecture players on being dirty whenever he plays? Like, what is this, for God's sakes? Of all people to say this, Brett Favre, come on.
How fraudulent. What amazes me most, though, is that Brett Favre generates headlines. He's a dope. Like, what? And there's another guy like this that always gets, no matter what he says, he gets big headlines about the team that he used to play for. I'm like, why are you listening to this guy? Do you ever notice, Maz, that whenever Joe Namath says something about the Jets,
yeah,
like the New York media blows it up?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they go nuts for any sort of little comment from Joe Namath about the Broadway Joe says Todd Bowles has to go. If I were a Jet fan, I'd say to myself, why are we listening to this old sauce bag? Like, what, how does this guy, like, who cares about his opinion?
Okay, that one I half get, and I'll tell you why. Because has there ever been anybody else affiliated with the Jets who won anything?
But I'm just saying, but it's like, so Namath and Favre, but I put Favre in this category. It's like, he's chugging beer off the back of his rider in Mississippi. What are you? He's not qualified. Why are we listening to that guy? You know, every now and then Joe Namath will say, I mean, Joe Montana will say something, and he'll get a headline, right? Like Joe Montana says.
Sure.
And that one I'll give a little more credit to, because I think Joe Montana was a classy player, and I don't think he's particularly bright, but he still carried himself a certain way, a little bit more of a figurehead.
And a winner.
And a legend and a winner. Thank you. And a winner. Okay. And, you know, Namath and Favre, they each won one, but only one. And for Favre, his, you know, that one is really an underachievement given his talent level. You know, Favre's career was marked by, well, both of them. Both of them, for that matter. If those guys weren't such big drinkers and such big, you know, hounds or whatever they were getting themselves up to, don't you think they would have won more? So, in both Namath and Favre, you look at him and you say, well, if you had handled yourself a little better and carried yourself a little more maturely, you would have won more than you did. Why am I listening to you like as some sort of voice of reason?
Yeah, Favre for sure, too. And he has no room to be critical of Watson after what he pulled those last few years in Green Bay. I don't have to tell you, Mike. And then what he did, you know, how he handled everything after he left.
But I just love, like, Joe Namath. Like, the Jet fan has to listen to Joe Namath.
What does it mean to you now when the team is struggling?
I want to kiss you. I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
Thank you. But to this day, Joe Namath will say something. Say, though, well, I think Adam Gase doesn't throw deep enough. New York Post the next day. Broadway Joe, Adam Gase on the hot seat. He's like, why are you listening to that guy? Who cares what Joe Namath says?
I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
But Favre gets the same thing.
Struggling.
Long commercial-free segment is next. Don't worry.
I couldn't care less about the team struggling.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And streaming anywhere you go. Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger Mass.
What are you talking about?
Number one.
Tell us what we said, point A to point B, please.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
No one keeps track of it, other than you. We don't, the listeners don't, they have no idea what you're talking about.
Felger Mass.
Oh, I think he's a tool bag.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back to Agenda Free Friday, taking your calls and your thoughts on everything from the week. Obviously a big Super Bowl week, Super Bowl Friday here on Felger and Maz. This segment, we're going to have one caller, and this caller is going to come to us on a Zoom hookup, and we're going to start paying off our auction winners from the Christmas in the City auction from the past December. And this was weeks and weeks ago, but we put some Felger and Maz show sit-ins up for bid. We were going to do it Zoom. And so we're going to start to do them now, and we'll start to do them with a very special guest of ours. It's Oded Carmi. He is the owner, the president, the grand poobah. He's the man. I don't know what title you would give yourself when you are the emperor of DN Van Lines, but that's what he is. He's the man at DN Van Lines, a good sponsor and partner here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. And Oded gave a generous, generous donation to Christmas in the City when we did the auction last December. So he gets his own stint here via the Zoom. Oded, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Oh, you sound better than Bedard.
There you go. Probably have better takes as well. How you doing?
How are you guys doing? How's Jim, Mike, Tony? How are you guys doing?
All good.
Peachy. We're doing great. What do you want to talk about, Oded?
Well, you know, this is my third year on in a row, and we usually support Jake and, rest in peace, Jake, a great guy, and Sparky and the Christmas in the City charity by providing our transportation services. They're your charity, Felger. We're your movers. So, it goes hand in hand. This year, we couldn't really do that. So we wanted to bid on this and support them financially. We couldn't do that, not because we didn't want to, but because of COVID, the event was canceled. So if you guys remember, this is my third year in a row. I always come with this analytic approach as to how to predict the Super Bowl winner. And I will remind you that I am batting 500. I'm 50% right. So, 50% of the time I'm right every time. And we're going to jump right into that and maybe discuss a few Super Bowl moments, because I know you guys go to the Super Bowl every year. So do I. Not this year, though.
Okay, go. What do you got? What's your lead item?
So, we look at the last time the teams played. And this year it's very easy. Tampa and Kansas City played this year and actually had a very, very close game. And interesting little tidbit about that game. That was the first time the Chiefs had beaten Tampa since the last. And let me ask you guys, what do you think the significance is from the last time the Chiefs beat Tampa Bay? How can we relate it to this situation?
I don't know if I can relate it, but I think anytime Brady gets tape on gets film on a team, he's in better shape that next time.
I think it helps Tampa more than it helps Kansas City.
Me too.
Well, what I'm explaining to you is the last time the Chiefs beat Tampa Bay, that was 1993. And who was at the helm of that Kansas City team?
Oh, Joe Montana.
Joe Montana. So he got a little bit, Joe Montana transferred to a new team, brought him to the conference championship. Now, obviously, Brady's taken that to a new level after transferring. So there's something there. I can't quite connect it. But going back to this game, this is a close game on the scoreboard. But when you really look at the game flow, Tampa Bay was behind the majority of that game. Both of those teams had all their players playing for the most part. And what we usually do is we talk about, which team is better now? So if you look at Kansas City during that week, which I believe was week 11 or 12, and you look at Kansas City now, would you say that there's much of a difference between the two teams?
I mean, from themselves, no.
Tampa's better now than they were then.
But, I mean, personnel-wise, they're the same teams.
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, correct.
No, but from a performance standpoint, would you say Kansas City's any better than they were in week 11 or 12?
Nope, they're the same. Tampa's gotten better.
So Tampa's gotten better. So we're sitting at a game. We're looking at a game that was 27-24 that favored Kansas City. We agree Kansas City's been, about the same team, but Tampa Bay has gotten better. So Does that put Tampa Bay over the edge, in your opinion?
No.
No, me neither.
No.
I mean, I'm picking them, but I think KC's a better team.
So, you know what, Mike? I'm going the same thing as you. My gut tells me that Kansas City's going to run away with this, but purely do this analytic approach. I'm going to give the nod to Tampa Bay. I'm going to say they were down. They're more than 3 points better than they were at that game, and therefore they should win this upcoming one.
So, Odette, the only thing I would tell you is that the idea that the game was close, I think, is a little bit of a myth. Kansas City dominated early, took a big lead, and the final score ended up being, you know, respectable, beyond respectable, as a field goal game. But Kansas City really controlled that game from beginning to end.
Well, but Bruce Arians had to play some shenanigans and really game plan the end of the game not to give the ball back to Brady. And actually, if you look at his press releases after the game, he basically said, you don't want to give the GOAT the ball at the, you know, to finish out the game. And I think we're probably going to end up in that type of situation where, you know, the game's going to be pretty close. Brady's going to have the ball in his hands at the end of the game. And the question is that can he, you know, do that again? And listen, with Gronk and Brady, they did that to Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs in that AFC Championship game where they, you know, Brady was nails, you know, making every third down and driving them down the field and winning that game. So, I think we're set up for a similar scenario, and I'm giving Brady the edge, a little confidence there that he's gonna take him through.
Okay, here's Odette Carmi again from DN Van Lines, made a generous contribution to Christmas in the City for an online auction and an online stint with Felger and Maz. So here we're paying it off. You got a couple minutes left, Odette. What else you want to get to?
You know, just want to cover your most memorable Super Bowl experiences, and I'll give you a little hint as to mine due to the fact that neither of us are going to be there this year. And I know we're all missing it. We'd love to be there if it wasn't for COVID. So, you know, I know you've talked about a little bit of the air, so dig deep. Things you haven't talked about. Go around the horn between you three. Best Super Bowl experience.
Okay, well, I mean, I'll just say the most striking Super Bowl memories I've had, because they're just so fresh in my memory, is how unbelievably hungover I've been each of the last three or four Wednesdays of Super Bowl week after Jim Murray takes me out on a Tuesday night. So that, you know, this week I'm feeling fresh as lettuce. I haven't felt this good Super Bowl week in a long, long time. So that's just, I can't dig much deeper than that for a memory. But, you know, that's just what just comes to my mind first and foremost.
So, Dad, for me, I always put a premium on the games. And so, to me, the best football game I've ever seen in person was the Patriots in Seattle. That Super Bowl, to me, was epic. It was everything you want a Super Bowl to be, right down to the very last snap. And so, to me, that's the one that will always stick out.
Yeah, while that is the best one that I've had the pleasure to watch, the first one I got to watch live was 4 years ago tonight. That's 28-3. And for most of that game, I spent it moping in my seat saying, of course, this is the first Super Bowl I get to go to where the Patriots are going to get their doors blown off. And after the pick six to Robert Alford, I was like, I just hope I die here. And then we all know what happened. It's the craziest sporting event I'll ever have the pleasure of going to. So that's my favorite Super Bowl moment.
Yeah, Jim, I got to give you a nod on that one, too. I mean, I remember being in the stands, you're getting text messages from all your friends saying, hey, you're the reason the Patriots are losing this game. And to see that turnaround and the thrill of it at the end was something that, you know, once in a lifetime experience. But, you know, for me, because I have a good friend that is an executive at the NFL, that's the reason I go every year. We get to go to a lot of events, and, you know, they're NFL official events. One of them is the NFL Honors, the cocktail party before that. And that's filled with owners and former players, active players. And so my best experience was basically getting a chance to really spend some time with Jerry Jones, talking about a range of different issues. And the number one rule when you go to these events, and this my friend tells me, is you do not ask for pictures. Because if you're asking for pictures, you shouldn't be there. So that was the rule going into it. And as I'm closing the conversation with Jerry, he goes to me and says, hey, you wanted to grab a picture with me? And I look at my friend and I shrug at him. And he says, he asked you. So I have this great picture of me and Jerry Jones, and his hand around me, us smiling, and that's one that the memory that always sticks with me.
Murray, I'm sure, knows how the conversation
went. I was just going to suggest.
I was going to ask you, did he tell you his theory on whores and Christmas trees?
No, we definitely talked about that among a lot of other topics. And let me tell you something, Jim. I've seen him since, and that guy's got a memory like a trap. Like, he doesn't see me for a year, and he remembers, you know, he knows about the moving company, asks random questions, so Really class act, and definitely we talked about the horse.
Yeah, let me pay off that anecdote, by the way. They're both useless after the 25th. Think about that.
Odette, thanks for the contribution, as always, to Christmas in the City and your support here on your partnership with 98.5 The Sports Hub. Have a good game, okay?
Thanks. We'll see you next year, guys.
Thank you again. Back to your phones here on Agenda Free Friday after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.